9 o'clock. Jocks 94.5, Tuesday, June 21st. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Tell your home smart speaker to enable the Jock skill or listen to Jocks as we roll along right here on McElroy and Cubic in the morning.
Yeah, and it's a great time to roll along to our friends in Coleman. It's right up the road. It's a short drive. And you know, as well as I do, that Bill Smith Buick GMC, they're going to take great care of you. 75% of their business repeat customers. That's the result of his superior customer experience when you shop with Bill Smith. They also are the dealer of the year for not just one brand, but two. They are GM's dealer of the year. They've won that twice, back-to-back years. And they've just recently picked up Buick's dealer of the year. They're the largest GMC dealer there in the Southeast as well, with the biggest selection and the lowest prices around. So go get yourself a brand new 2022 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with the Elevation Package, the list price $54,040. You get it at Bill Smith for under $49,000. That's how you stay atop the industry for 66 years. Go check out our friends, Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager. Scott Wren does an amazing job running the service center. So go check out the savings and the customer service that are just a short drive up Highway 65 to Coleman and GMC and Buick's dealer of the year. Or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
All right, going to the Bud Light hotline now. I'm going to welcome in Stanford Steve at StanfordSteve82. Can follow him on Twitter, obviously, from SportsCenter with SVP, the SV Pod. Numerous podcasts that are out there. Stanford Steve, the first time in 18 appearances that the Cardinal have not won a game at the College World Series. What went wrong?
I love getting up early and getting hit right out of the box with this one, Kubelik.
Why should we waste time? Just get right into it.
You had this one rolled up your sleeve for what, a week preparing for enough? No, man, it sucks. It sucks. You wait all year to see your team, and I say it all the time, whether it's college football, when you start getting later in the season, the games get bigger, college basketball, the NCAA tournament, and especially the College World Series. When the teams get to that point, you want them to play well and then let it play out. And, I mean, it started in the first round of the regular regionals, where I thought Texas State got hosed. They ended up being the 2 seed out in Stanford's bracket. That team was all you could handle. They had to go the maximum games there. They had to do the same thing against UConn. I think against UConn in 3 games, their 3 starters, which include a first-team All-American and a second-team All-American, they got 6 outs from their 3 starting pitchers on the whole weekend. So I didn't feel really well about them going to Omaha. And then obviously Arkansas looking for revenge after Stanford went there and won early this year. And then Auburn was just awesome. I mean, pressure hitting against Stanford's best reliever. They went to him. They stuck with him. And Auburn comes out on top. So I know they got to Omaha. That's the goal. But I'm really disappointed with how they looked when they got to Omaha.
Understandably disappointing. They still had a great year, though. And yeah. I think it's reason to believe that Stanford baseball, I don't want to say that they're necessarily back. Should they have ever really left? Probably not. But I feel like they're kind of trending in the right direction when they've been a little bit of an afterthought, at least in recent years.
Well, draw that line wherever you want towards the West Coast, Greg. I mean, they're just trying to, you know, I look at it as an opportunity because you guys, I mean, we've talked about in the past, you know, the Pac-12 trying to get back to relevance in college football. You know, when you get this stage against the teams from the SEC, you have to go and take it. And it just went completely the opposite way. Stanford got exposed, bad at bats all over. I thought Auburn's pitching staff did a great job of game planning for their hitters, and Arkansas did a lot better job than, you know, the first time they saw him. So to me, it's about when you get that opportunity, taking advantage of it and jumping on that opportunity. And it doesn't happen a lot. You know, the Pac-12 SEC crossovers, plenty chances for Stanford to get multiple games against them in Omaha. And they went, you know, the old 2 and barbecue. So I'm guessing they're already home.
Stanford Steve joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. I have to bring this up just because I've heard some conversations that you've had on the SV Pod recently. I had the opportunity to get to Omaha over the weekend. Absolute blast. It exceeded every expectation. One thing I didn't anticipate was a travel baseball tournament with, I think, over 50 teams on hand also taking place in Omaha, which meant to The group that I was with, I think we were in four different hotels because it was last minute. You just had to take what you could get. So my hotel,
yep.
The other hotels that I would go to, you had the travel teams everywhere, which meant the bat bags with the triple bat sleeves and the fungo bat, the warm-up bat, the bunt bat, the power bat that were carried. The bags with wheels that were being rolled around because I guess you need 17 gloves to go play a baseball game. Not to mention the glasses and the bracelets and the gear and the arm sleeves at 7 o'clock in the morning, just in case it cooled off there in Omaha. Got to keep the arm under control. So I just had to get your thought on the equipment at some of the lower levels of baseball that we're seeing in this country.
It's astounding to me watching. I got young kids too. We all do. Traveling around, you see different things. Not once have I seen with what was the way I used to go with it. I wasn't a metal cleats guy probably until high school. So, I mean, fine with the plastic cleats, the molded cleats, and then the old glove, just slide it right down the bat if you had a bat, and that's how you carried it. You know, the old backpack Charlie Brown style, that's what I did. The old glove on the bat, let's go. I'm showing up. I got my ball. I got my glove. I got my bat. I can play.
These
bags. I'm worried about back troubles for these youngsters with all this stuff that's in the back. I mean, now
I can tell you're very concerned.
You guys know about packing up the cars and getting out for family vacation. The idea of how much your own helmet takes up that space, I would have serious problems. What happened to the old team helmets? Part of being the manager and the coach is taking the equipment. You take care of the helmets. That takes up a lot of space when I'm on these travels. So good luck to the baseball parents out there. I don't know how you do it.
I thought the best line you had, and I've stolen it from you a couple of times, because I think it actually hits about 90% of people around our age that played Little League Baseball, was what happened to the old military sack, like the old big green army bag? And you got to the field and you dumped it out. That was your helmet, your bats, your balls, maybe an extra glove.
Yeah, what more do you need?
That was everything right there. You had the little donut, the one donut that you put on to warm up. A little different these days.
That. The donut was epic, yeah.
I think donuts are coming back. I just got to speed it up, speed up the bat speed. When you look at what's left, right now it's hard to see anybody knocking off Ole Miss playing as well as they're playing. Is there anyone else, though, that you think we need to be real mindful of? When it comes to who might ultimately cut down the nets in this deal?
I still think because of the way the team is made up, and that's why I picked Notre Dame over Tennessee, Greg, was Notre Dame watching them last year go to Starkville and deal with that crowd and being that close and then seeing what Mississippi State did when they got to Omaha, I thought was really eye-opening, because when you go up and down their lineup, I think it's eight grad players out of the nine starting positions that they'll try out there today. And I just feel like that stuff matters, man. When your back's up against the wall, you want your guys that have been battle tested. And I think, you know, that as a coach, you know, Link Jarrett's, you know, rumored to go, you know, all over the place, starting with Florida State's alma mater. I think he has to be confident. And if you're going to come back from this circumstance now in the loser's part of the bracket, you want experience. You want guys that have been battle tested. So I would keep my eyes on Notre Dame. I'm not sure. I feel like A&M peaked earlier in the year, and I mean, I know they're happy as hell because they got a win against Texas, and that's all really they care about. So I would just keep my eye on the winner of today's game, and I think it's going to be Notre Dame.
I shared a little story with GMAC also earlier in the show about being in Omaha at the College World Series, and just that I didn't really understand. My question was, do you think Texas fans have any idea what they're getting into when they come to the SEC in a few years? Mm-hmm. Because I came across, Steve, a large group of Texas fans that were chirping at everybody. Not the team they were playing, but every other team that walked by them, and they would essentially begin to root for the team that they were playing and begin to talk trash that way. And it just kind of got me wondering, do these guys have any idea what they're about to step into here in a couple of years? And another thing that I've heard from you recently, because a team that's having success there in Omaha is Oklahoma, and just kind of how their fan base has been handling things in football. Greg and I have talked about it, whether it's been alumni, Letterman, whatever it is, just kind of where things have gone with that fan base after being so successful the last few years. How surprising has it been to you as just how Oklahoma Nation, Sooner Nation, has handled the departure of Lincoln Riley and everything that's happened since?
It's absolutely blown me away, guys. And I talked on my podcast. I was at the Southern Hills in Oklahoma, Tulsa, for the PGA Championship for over, you know, 8-9 days for work. And every Oklahoma fan I talked to, the first words out of their mouth were something about Lincoln Riley and wanting to see USC not have a good season. And I'm like, at some point, you have to let that go. And I, you know, I tried positive, you know, Felica and I started talking about Oklahoma a little bit coming into this year. You know, their win total's out. I think it's 9 around there. And I love the idea of Dillon Gabriel and Lebby together. I love that. But it just feels like they just can't let go of how Lincoln Riley left them to go to USC. And now that, you know, they obviously think lesser of the Pac-12. And I just enjoy your team, man. Like you have so much to look forward to. You got your guy in Venables that you wanted, and it just feels like they are just so much more interested in talking everything else than they are about Oklahoma football and what they have now in front of them. And it just it's really, I saw it with Notre Dame too. I thought they were really hurt that Kelly left there, but Notre Dame I think really bought into what they're building there with Freeman. But Oklahoma fans just feel like, I don't know if they don't want to face what's ahead of them with the SEC, now that you want to bring it up. I think that might be part of it. But the idea of how they just couldn't let go of that is really been weird to me, seeing, because it's every one of them that you talk to, and they're just this can't let go about it. And, you know, you got a huge possibility of a season ahead of you in the Big 12, knowing what we have. With the coaching staff and roster, plenty of excitement to go around. But it's been really, really weird to me just to see how they've handled it, how they've acted, and what they've said about what transpired in the last couple months in Norman.
Have you ever seen anything like it? I know you referenced Notre Dame a second ago, but Notre Dame feels a little unfazed. Like, this seems like there's a kind of a rallying cry that kept a lot of their folks. Yeah. Like, and Notre Dame, to me, is they're in good shape. I don't think they're too concerned. But I don't know how anyone can justify, oh, this is a significant upgrade from what they previously had with Venables taking over for Lincoln Riley. Might be, we don't know that, but I can't tell you it's a slam dunk. Have you ever seen anything quite like it with how a fan base has reacted?
No, I haven't. And that's, I mean, it's such a big fan base and such a storied program. It's really taken me back to how they've gone about this, Greg. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you've been around. I mean, growing up in Texas, you've seen all those fans.
Yeah.
And they're so loyal. Their pregame atmosphere with the pregame hype video. I mean, everybody has one now. But Oklahoma, I remember going back there and the Manti Te'o Notre Dame team that was at that game that went there and won. Like, that atmosphere was incredible. And Notre Dame went in and silenced it. And I thought it would be totally different and how excited they would be for a new chapter as opposed to looking back at how the last chapter ended. That's just what would have been a big surprise to me.
All right, so you mentioned that you were watching a PGA Tour event just a couple of weeks ago. Today we get the news that Brooks Koepka is going to head over to the LIV Tour. How does this change your opinion about either of those entities and maybe what they will become or what they're going to have to deal with moving forward?
I will, knowing Brooks and how, right, you know, he doesn't, you know, avoid any punches, like hit. He'll just, I think he's going to come out and say why he did it. I think it's going to be a lot like Dustin Johnson saying, you know, it's life-changing money, which I understand as long as they say it. But the guys that are saying, you know, they're coming out and doing it to grow the game, they're not. They're not, because they're going to hurt the PGA Tour if the PGA Tour is going to want it money-wise, because they're going to have to cut out money from that Korn Ferry Tour and all the PGA Tour events that they've built overseas to help those purses in American events to help the PGA Tour. So the idea that it's building the game, I find hard to believe. Now, if you want that, you know, that check, and it is, it's life changing money. I understand that. I just wish guys would be honest about it. That's all.
Yeah, why would you be honest? You don't have to be. I mean, it's, do you anticipate how many more? I think by the time we get to the end of this deal, we're going to see 20 big time names out of a 48 player field that are competing exclusively on the LIV Golf Tour.
Wait a second. Well, are there 20 big time names on the PGA Tour right now?
Names that would move the needle amongst the golf crowd. Yeah. I mean, okay. I wouldn't say that there's 20 that are going to move, you know, they're going to make Damien and you watch PGA, you know, around the clock.
Well,
no.
I think I hate golf. No.
I mean, but I think there's going to be, by the end of the day, 20 or so out of, and at half the field's pretty popular folks. Then they're taught, that's serious needle moving.
There's names out there, Greg, and I mean, you talk to people in the golf world also, but if this LIV Tour, like there's a guy out there, this LIV Tour offered more than the guy has made in his career. They offered it just for this deal. Like,
yes,
that's going to change your mind about things, you know?
Right.
So if that doesn't stop, yeah, I think you're going to see more guys go. I just really like John Rahm, from what he said last week, I really became a fan of what he said. Just the idea of a shotgun three-round tournament doesn't interest him, and he's here to play, you know, he's worked all his life to get here and be amongst the names of all the greats, you know, prior on this. I thought that was really good, because that's what it comes down to, is the competition level. Like, when I think that's what you're going to see with the LIV Tour, watching a little bit that I did of it. It's really weird. The shotgun start, like, it totally takes away from guys in front of you that are trying to catch the leaders, have just played that hole. Now you got guys all over finish at the same time. That's a really tough watch to sell, as far as you, if you want to start, you know, putting, you know, titles of tournament on the line. It's just totally different and not even close to what we've seen when it comes to the history of golf. So, yeah, I think the number is only going to grow, especially if that money keeps coming in and everybody expects it to. So it's a different predicament, something that the PGA Tour has never had to face. So it's really interesting to see what plays forward.
Would you go for nine figures?
I would.
Yes. Would you go for eight figures?
For a couple podcasts? Yeah. I mean,
you have to do 12 podcasts a year, and you might have the option to do some additional podcasts, depending on if the other entities allow it.
I would take that call for sure.
Yeah, and you get team pods at the end of the schedule.
Yes.
Just to make it that much easier. So,
and you get to name them really cool names, like the Stingers.
Well, listen, whatever you do, don't ask Scott about it, because we know he's tired of talking about it. He made that abundantly clear. He doesn't want to hear about any more of this, the LIV Tour. Steve, appreciate the time, man. Great stuff as always.
Yeah, and I'm also tired of the Jello shot count. I mean, if you guys really thought Stanford was going to compete for the Jello shots down there in Omaha, all you SEC people, like that wasn't the goal. It's been as bad a tournament as it could have gone. So I appreciate you guys going after the Jello shots, but I don't need any more updates. I know you guys want that.
I'm not involved in that. That's a Peter Burns thing. I think it might be top five dumbest things I've ever seen. Like, congratulations, you took Jello shots. That's a child's food. Like,
We're not talking about lining shots of whiskey up.
No, yeah,
right.
Which Stanford, of course, would dominate. That goes without saying.
Absolutely, I feel like I might give Kentucky the advantage there. But
if I could give them a shot of like information, then I would. I think Stanford would be in a good spot there.
For handing out gigabytes,
yes.
How many books are they going to read in Omaha?
Yeah.
Steve, let me ask you one more question before you run. Reuben Owens is a five-star running back that is committed to Louisville. He has nicknamed himself the Black Unicorn. What would you have nicknamed yourself coming out of high school?
Nothing. Not in. You can't make your own nickname. The nickname has to be given to you.
Oh no! You've leaned into it with LeBron. You've leaned into it. All you SportsCenter folks have leaned into the king, LeBron James. So he made up his own nickname.
He did. Did Tom Brady call himself the word, the animal with four letters? Because I refuse to use that.
I don't think he threw that on himself.
Nah.
He just gave himself a logo.
TB12 don't care
at all.
No, he does not at all.
All right, Steve, great stuff, man. Look forward to catching up soon.
All right, appreciate listening to you guys all the time. Greg, hope that golf swing's going well.
Oh, good luck with the... We got member guests this week, dude. I'm dialed.
Big one.
$1,000.
Huge.
You get 4 days off for that one?
Six, actually. I'm here today, but I'm not really here. Like, I'm just looking up YouTube videos of how to manage my short game.
What is the what other local country club is trying to steal your member guest guys over to come play? Is the real question.
Yeah, that's true.
Will they be able to pull it off?
And they call it Live Golf. The one that they're trying to get is Dead Golf. Is the one that
right. Top Golf is trying to take golf. Your partner.
That's it.
Top Golf. We're gonna go out there and we gotta hit it around the yellow flag.
There you go. All right, Steve. Great stuff, man. Appreciate the time.
All right. No jello shot to Top Golf. That's good.
There you go.
That's what you think.
All right. Stanford Steve joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. I did see a video over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. The young lady who took her dad to Top Golf for Father's Day. I'll dig this video up during the break and get it to you guys. But he rolls up with it like it's, you know, she cuts it up and it's him. He's like, taking my dad to Top Golf for Father's Day. Oh, he brought his own clubs. Oh, and then he gets up at the top of the thing and said, doesn't trust the pins at Top Golf, brought his own rangefinder.
Wow.
He's sitting there staring at the pins.
If you bring your own rangefinder to Top Golf, that is,
hey, you're locked in.
That is competitive.
And it's like middle of the day, and then it's dark, and she puts, you know, it's almost closing time, and he's still out here trying to prove that he can get it into whatever he needs to do, like just getting it in out there. Dad comes full dad mode at Top Golf. All right, we'll come back on the other side. I will give you one number, one single number that will explain to you why GMAC might be right and this Live Tour is not even close to being finished. That's next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Great stuff there from Stanford Steve. Appreciate him stopping by on the Bud Light Hotline. Catch the podcast, jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And please like, rate, review, subscribe to those. Always appreciate that as we move along right here at 9:27 a.m. Tuesday, June 21st on Jocks 94.5.
Yeah, it's great protection that Stanford Steve was able to provide us, talking about all kinds of different topics. But I can tell you what other great protection you might need is protection from your roof. If you're trying to keep your loved one safe or your home safe, the only people that I would trust would be Yellowhammer Roofing. They protect my home and they protect my loved ones. So there's a roof replacement or repair. Yellowhammer Roofing is our hometown professional team. Call or visit them today for your free assessment at 855-217-8887 or online at yellowhammerroofing.com. Remember, they're licensed and insured and they have the 5-year workmanship warranty. They own your roof for the first 5 years.
All right, A&M Notre Dame, 1 o'clock ESPN in the College World Series. Those two teams never met in the College World Series. Auburn, Arkansas, ESPN 2 at 6 p.m. Obviously, a lot of familiarity there. Elimination game coming up later tonight with the Hogs and the Tigers. Major League Baseball last night, Yankees took out the Rays 4-2. They've won 10 of 11, 16 of 18. Braves back on track against the Giants 2-1. They had won 14 straight before dropping 2 to the Cubs. Back-to-back games against the Cubs over the weekend. Just kind of weird. 6:20 on TBS tonight. They'll get the Giants again. 5.5 games back of the New York Mets. Tampa 6-2 over Colorado in the Stanley Cup final last night. Colorado still leads the series 2-1. Wednesday, tomorrow, you'll get game 4 at 7 o'clock on ABC. But we're talking PGA and we're talking Live Tour. I told you guys before the break that I would give you one number that would signify to you and that has to me that this thing is not over. Because GMAC said, I told you, the headline from Golf Digest reads, as the PGA Tour braces for more announcements today. I don't know if that means they have information that more guys are going to say that they're out today. That's going to happen today. Don't know for certain. But in an article that was written in the Sporting News by David Suggs, documenting Tiger Woods' offer to join the Live Tour, Greg Norman told the Washington Post, was quoted in this story saying, we're talking about high 9 digits. Woods rejected the offer. 9, by the way, is a billion.
No, 9 is hundreds of millions.
High 9 billion is what it's reported that Tiger turned down.
I think he turned out a billion. I like to think of my favorite athlete of all time being capable of turning down a $1 billion offer.
Billion.
Yeah, that's gangster.
It is.
Yeah, I don't need that billion because I already got it.
All right, so
that it's probably the coolest thing you could do.
Phil got 200. DJ, we thought was 125, but ended up being 175. Is that right?
That's all I've heard.
Who else we got that we know?
So Phil got the most at 200. This is what I've heard. Phil got the most at 200. DJ got the second most at 125. And then Bryson and Brooks will be somewhere in the vicinity of just over 100. Patrick Reed would be somewhere in the mid 50s-ish in that vicinity. Sergio got 40. Those are the numbers that I'd heard so far.
So that's 3, 4, 5, 6. We're about 6:15 with just those right there. Okay. Let's just say add in a couple more. Let's go to 7. Okay. We'll say 700 is what they're on the hook for. Guaranteed money for guys to go ahead and come over. According to this article at Sporting News, Greg Norman reportedly has been given $3 billion to try and lure the world's best golfers to come play for LIV. $3 billion. And they might not even be at one?
Yeah.
So if there was any indicator as to will this continue to happen, are more guys going to head over, GMAC? I would think that what's sitting there in the reserves for Greg Norman would probably lead that to be an easy yes. That there are going to be other guys that are going to say, you know what, this we've done what we're going to do, and we're moving on. As some of the other guys have stated, it's life-changing money.
Completely. And there's no guarantee it's going to have to be for a long period of time. There's no guarantee this thing's going to last forever. It's not like they're signing up for a 5-year commitment to the LIV Golf Tour. No, they're signing up for a multi-year commitment, which leads me to believe it's going to be 2 years. And that is pretty easy to sell. But yeah, so I get $5 million just to show up at 24 different tournaments? All right, you can count me in. I'll figure it out. So that, I think, is a little bit interesting. And now it's not going to be quite as taboo. And you see guys that are going, and you're no longer going to be viewed as a pariah amongst your peers, then maybe it will be more gettable, more reasonable for guys to potentially consider this avenue. Now, will the guys like Will Zalatoris and Colin Morikawa and guys like that go? I don't know that. If they do, look out. If all of a sudden Colin Morikawa wants to go, look out.
But those guys haven't. They haven't experienced as much of what even Brooks has with back-to-back U.S. Opens, back-to-back PGA Championships, 16 top tens in majors in his career. Just 32 years old. They haven't. I mean, even though it's not elongated success, you know, he had a massive run where he had a ton of success. He's gotten a couple of those trophies. He's won major championships. Now this year, it hasn't been great. Missed the cut at the Masters. Last two tournaments, I believe, tied for 55th and finished 55th in the two tournaments that we've seen him last. PGA Championship, he was tied for 55th and 55th on his own at the U.S. Open. So the last few have not been great, but he had a run that was phenomenal. And you look at that and say, okay, he's already, you know, probably checked a couple of boxes that were on the career goals. Now he looks at it as though he can go make that move. And like you said earlier, and it was a great point, If we find out that these guys are still going to be able to go play in majors, then number one, who cares? And number two, it will lead to more guys heading over and defecting, because then if they know they can still come back and play in the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship or the Masters, British Open, then yeah, why would you not go get that check and then come back and play with the ones that matter the most?
Well, people are going to say because of the human rights and the, you know, spotty history of the Saudis' involvement in a lot of different avenues. But here's where I have a difficult time. Like, Saudis, the Saudi government and the money that is backing the LIV Golf Tour, they contribute to businesses all over our country. Like, which ones do we pick and choose what we use and what we don't? Like, they're one of the biggest backers of Uber. Do we not take Uber? Do we not take Uber because of who they're aligned with and who the money is behind it in some ways? Like, yeah, we still do. There's a million examples of that too, by the way. So that's where I think is a little bit tricky with some of the things that have been said about the LIV Golf Tour. I just don't, not that it's not fair. It's just, I don't know if it's all completely fair, because there is a lot of companies take Saudi money. Why is it that this is the one that we're going to completely disregard as, you know, you don't care about people and you're aligning with, you know, horrible, horrible people. Like, I don't know. That's, I think, a little bit of a difficult thing.
Ryan Harrington of Golf Digest, quote, meanwhile, Golf World braces for potential other additions to the LIV Golf roster that could be revealed ahead of next week's event at Pumpkin Ridge, according to sources. So there you go. It sounds like Ryan Harrington believes that more guys are going to be heading over and more guys are going to be making that move. But we'll have to wait to see exactly who's going to be next. We do know that Abraham Answer.
Yeah, that's a big one.
He's going to head over to the LIV Tour.
That's a big one,
according to ESPN Deportes.
Right.
Yeah. That's just keep drawing them in.
That's a big one, because Abraham Answer's huge. He's really big in Mexico, naturally. He's from Mexico, and they clearly want, or it's a massive emphasis for the LIV Golf Tour to have a following from many, many different countries. They don't want it to be exclusively Europe and United States. No, they want all over the place. They want Mexico. They want Canada. They want all over Europe. They want Australia. Like, they're trying to be very diverse, I feel like, in the amount of different countries and flags that they can fly at every single event that they're going to host. So it makes sense. And Abraham Answers had a heck of a year. And will probably, his best golf sitting in front of him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward.
Absolutely. We will have to wait to see what other big names are going to move over to that LIV Tour. One thing we don't have to wait for, G-Mac, and we love not having to wait for it, is our dental care.
That's right. If you need it on your schedule, but you can't get immediate help, is there anything more frustrating than that? Well, that's why there's Family Care Dental. They are the urgent care office where you can be seen the same day. They have 3 locations in Hoover, Fultondale, and Homewood. Accepting patients of all ages for emergencies or routine dental appointments. Most insurance plans are accepted. They can see you on Fridays and Saturdays. Family Care Dental. It's 874-9605. It's 874-9605.
All right, so getting back to the PGA Tour, Matt Fitzpatrick, 3rd English player since World War II to win the U.S. Open. Kind of your thoughts on that win over the weekend. Obviously, shot out of the bunker late was just phenomenal. And then Zalatoris has a chance to be able to push it to the playoff. Putt rolls past there on 18. And Fitzpatrick gets the win. Just a pretty cool win for him, and wins the U.S. Open at the same side of a 2013 U.S. Amateur win that he had. So it was not a name that a ton of people that don't follow golf religiously were familiar with, but a very cool story nonetheless for Fitzpatrick to be able to get that win yesterday.
Yeah, in a cool way for those that didn't watch or didn't follow, Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Amateur at that golf course as a 19-year-old sophomore at Northwestern. As a 19-year-old sophomore, he didn't have the means to be able to afford a hotel. They were totally sold out, all this other stuff. So he stayed with the family, a host family there in the Boston area. Well, here he is 9 years later as a highly successful player on not just the PGA Tour, but the European Tour. And he opted to stay with the same host family where he was victorious yet again. He won the amateur in 2013. Felt like he was not feeling superstitious, just a little stitious. He'll stay with them again in 2022. He ends up winning again at the very same golf course. So really cool. And to make it even that much sweeter, his caddy, who had long been on the bag for players, great players for many, many years, very, very well-respected caddy, universally respected, had never won a major, him winning a major for the first time with Matthew Fitzpatrick was really cool. He's one of my favorite players. He's a grinder. The harder the course, the better he plays. The better the field, the better he plays. Unbelievable short game. Plays insanely fast. The guy just shows up and hits it, whereas some people want to step it off. I mean, he'll play around in 3 hours on the tour if he was allowed to do so. So he's one of my favorite players. Really happy for him, and think it's an awesome and fitting victor for the U.S. Open Championship. Yeah,
and unfortunate for Will Zalatoris, who he's finished inside the top 10 in every major this year. He and Rory McIlroy, the only two golfers to do that, played exceptional golf this weekend. Like you mentioned, Fitzpatrick just a little bit too much down the stretch, but have to be impressed with how Zalatoris showed up and performed as well.
No doubt about it. I mean, Zalatoris was amazing. His putting stroke is getting a little bit better. still tee to green, very few better than him in the world. Just amazing, amazing tee to green player. But does have the yips a little bit on short putts, which the fact that he's in contention as much as he is and yet still can't putt is insane. And by can't putt, meaning like on a, you know, putts better than us, you know, amateurs, but he doesn't putt great for a PGA Tour player, especially on putts that are 4 to 10 feet. 4 to 10 feet is like where you win tournaments, and he doesn't make very many of those. He also misses, I feel like, more inside of 5 feet than just about anybody, but he's still in the mix, and he's an amazing player, just an amazing player, and has a ridiculously bright future. So very, very happy for him for being in contention yet again, but one of these days he's going to break down the door. He's going to win by 10 strokes. That's my prediction. When Will Zalatoris inevitably wins a major championship, and I say inevitably because I feel like it's a slam dunk, no-brainer, the guy's got it, he's going to win by a mile. It's kind of like when Rory, he was in such great shape on so many different occasions, choked down the stretch at Augusta, his first major opportunity. Well, he comes back, and when he finally wins one, which I believe was 2012 U.S. Open, he won by like 9 strokes. That's going to be Will Zalatoris. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy finished tied for fifth, bringing his total to 16 top 10 finishes since his last major victory. That was at the 2014 PGA Championship, most of any player over that span. So speaking of kicking doors in, if your AC is not working, you're going to want to kick your door out so you can get some air in there. Your HVAC system, most expensive appliance, and during summer, it's constantly being pushed to the extreme. It's not a question of if it will fail, but when. Turn to the brand recognized as the most trusted for 8 consecutive years, Trane. A Trane system will keep you comfortable and give you peace of mind for years to come, knowing you've got the industry's best. And always remember, it's hard to stop a Trane. All right, when we come back, we hear from Butch Thompson, Auburn baseball coach, on how he enacted different strategy heading into that game yesterday against Stanford, and could that carry over into today's game against Arkansas? Next on McIlroy and Kubik in the Morning. All right, welcome back in. McIlroy and Kubik in the Morning, 9:47 a.m. We mentioned that the SEC rolling in Omaha. Sixth time a single conference sent 4 teams to Omaha, but just the second time that 4 teams from one conference have won a game in the same College World Series. That other instance, also the SEC, 1997. That year, LSU knocked off Alabama in the national championship game. Ole Miss 7-0 in this NCAA tournament. They knock off Arkansas 13-5. Auburn gets Arkansas tonight. Rebels the 17th team to win their first 7 games since the Super Regional round was introduced in 1999. 6th SEC team to do so, and 3 of the previous 5 won the national championship. 2011 South Carolina, 2000 LSU, both finished being undefeated in the postseason. So we'll see how it goes today. Have to wait until tomorrow for a couple other schools to get going back again. But Butch Thompson, Auburn head baseball coach, on how he enacted a little bit of different strategy to try to get his team to bounce back against Stanford yesterday.
I'm sitting in my hotel last night, and I'm like, all right. Y'all telling me only 4 teams out of, you know, 4 teams out of the last 40 years have lost that first game and won a national championship. Who is it? And then I looked, and I was like, okay, well, Pat Casey did it in 6 and 18, and Tanner did it in 10. How about I call them tonight since I'm sitting here? And both of those men got back, and they both gave me paragraphs of taking me through the journey with their team. And I'm like, I just – Like I say, man, the man or woman of the team that will never quit, you know, they got a chance. And I just want us to fight, and I want us to attack. And that's all you can ask for. The score will take care of itself. But those men, it was like they were excited to hear from me. And they're like, yeah, this is what we did. This is what we talked about. This became our focus. And I'm just hunting for every inch we can for our program. So thankful for today and excited about tomorrow.
Yeah, and so Auburn, it felt like it took them a little while to begin to attack, but then once the bats came alive around the sixth inning, Cole Foster's double in the top of the sixth really opened it up. Things began to really get going. Trace Bright, 8 strikeouts in 5 innings, and obviously we know Burkhalter has been out of the bullpen. He was phenomenal in that game yesterday again. So if Auburn can carry a lead past the sixth, then they're going to be in pretty good shape. But this Arkansas team, different animal. They're now one loss away from elimination and one of five teams to make the College World Series at least 10 times without winning a title. So the Hogs trying to change that as they'll face Auburn tonight. Auburn looking to win multiple games in a men's College World Series for just the second time in six appearances. So you leaning one way or the other in this one tonight, Auburn, Arkansas?
Lean Arkansas. I just think Arkansas has a ton of firepower, and I feel like their lineup's a little bit deeper. Now, if Deshara gets his, and like you said, if they can get a lead early, then look out, right? It's all she wrote. It's Katie bar the door. If they can get somehow to the seventh or eighth inning with a lead, I like their chances, right? But at the same time, Arkansas's lineup, and partly, look, it's not just what they did against Stanford. They've been pretty streaky for as long as I've been paying serious attention. And when they get going and they get hot, it's like it's contagious amongst the entire lineup. So I think they're the slightly more dangerous team. I think Auburn might have the best players in the game today. But I think as far as depth and quality of depth, they have a slight edge, the Hogs do.
Well, and that best hitter in the lineup that you mentioned, Sonny Deshara, he hadn't gotten going yet. Hadn't really seen him. There hasn't even been a lot of hard contact through the first two games. So if he can find a way to get going, it would obviously be a big push for Auburn in this one tonight. So you'll also get A&M Notre Dame today at 1. A&M really came alive against Texas on Sunday, 10-2. Pretty cool just to see that rivalry, to see what that environment was like there at Charles Schwab Field. I mean, that was exceptional to be able to get that one, obviously, with two future SEC teams facing off and then a rivalry that we know goes deep, deep. And that place was packed for that one. Ended up being just an exceptional matchup. And we'll see if A&M can find a way to get past Notre Dame today, as not many national seeds left in this tournament. It's there wasn't a ton that got in, and a couple of them have been sent home. A&M, one of those that is left in this matchup, and they'll get Notre Dame today at 1. I did have one other thing I wanted to share with you from the College World Series. Being up in Omaha this weekend and making that trip as we move along here on the show, and that is after the Auburn game. You know, we were outside from probably about 3:30 on. The game was at 6. Told you we had to stand outside the stadium because they let everybody come out. Then you have to wait to get back in. And it was just hot. It was hot, hot. Game, obviously, these games were running 4.5, almost 5 hours. After the game, walked back to one hotel to meet up with a group of people. The Uber situation was just a mess. And I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to walk back to my hotel. I was the only person staying at my hotel. It was about 10:15. I just said, enough's enough. I'm calling it a day. I'm hot, dehydrated, just want to go to bed. And it was about 4.5 miles, so I walked it. And let me just tell you, I was gross when I got back.
You say you walked it?
I walked it. Top five shower of my entire life. Top five shower of my entire life. You turn it on just as little as you can to where it stays as cold as possible. And I just stood in that sucker for about 10 minutes. Didn't move. And I'm not sure the body temperature was actually regulated when I got out after that, but it was a lot cooler than it was before. Top five shower of my entire life. Making the 4.5 mile journey in the heat in Omaha back to my hotel.
I think you should have hollered at our friends Crocker Moving Services. They would have given you a ride because they'll do anything that you need them to do. You just call them.
They would have moved me back to my hotel.
They might have charged you a little more because of the fuel surcharge. Knowing that you'd weigh them down and slow things down a little bit, but that'll be all right. They'll take care of you. It's just like they did me, man. They took great care of my family. I couldn't be happier with the results of our move. Thanks to our friends at Crocker Moving Services. They're a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. And they believe in hiring movers that you could trust. Full background checks, drug tests on every single employee. Call or visit them online today for a free quote. I did. It was very easy, very simple, and I knew exactly what it was going to cost the second I got off the phone. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
We had an odd shaped piece of furniture that was upstairs in our playroom, and we moved the playroom around a little bit and did some different things. And my wife wanted to put that piece of furniture on our back porch. We hired Crocker to come out, and they moved one piece of furniture, got in, got out. It was done in 15 minutes. But it was one of those deals where you couldn't have done it with even three people. You just needed more people because it was long and heavy. But yeah, it's that easy. And they were able to come out and get that done for us. Appreciate Paul Feinbaum, Daryl Johnston, Stanford Steve joining the show today. If you missed any of those, head over to jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You can check out those interviews. They're always there. And we podcast the 3 hours of the show as well that you can go check out. Great show today. Good to be back. Tomorrow, we got some college football topics that I know we want to dive into, and we will recap whether or not Auburn's still alive in the College World Series as they face off against Arkansas tonight at 6 p.m. You can hear that game right here on Jocks 94.5. Three-man front is next. We're back 7 to 10 a.m. tomorrow right here on WJOX.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.